Hallelujah. Psalms 30. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't have a Bible, use your cell phone. Come on. Use your tablet. Share with a neighbor. But I want you to see these words. I'm reading from the King James Version, and of course I will fix any grammar that needs to be fixed. But Psalms 30, we're going to begin reading. At verse 7. I want to read the whole thing, but I don't have time. I promise I'll put it all in context for you. The Bible declares, Lord, by thy favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You did hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. For thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Oh, I feel like preaching already. Glory to God. He's turned my mourning into dancing. And thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Hallelujah. Father of the living God, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for this very moment. Let us be sober-minded in this instant to hear your voice, to receive a right now word from you. Father, as you speak this morning, touch every heart. Open every ear so that they can hear what your spirit is trying to say. Father, for your word has power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to separate soul from spirit so that it can discern the intentions of our hearts. Father, speak such a word today that it penetrates to the depths of our soul, that we will forever be changed. God, I thank you that no one will leave this place the way they came in, and that at the moment that we declare it, even right now as I am praying, things are turning around for them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. All right, come on, KLC, you know how we do it. Turn to somebody, smile as bright as you can. You know I make you smile in church because I don't want you looking sad. Come on here. Plus, this is Baltimore, so you are definitely going to see some gold teeth because we saw them all week long. Hallelujah. Come on, smile, turn to your neighbor and say, when the mountain shakes, God is about to turn it around. Can you find somebody else and say, when the mountain shakes, that's when God is about to turn it around. I feel the anointing of God already. Before you sit down, just go like this and say, I just turned my morning into dancing, baby. My God, I put off my misery. I put off my mourning. I put on the garment of praise. God, I feel an anointing in here. Come on, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Let me preach this thing to you. Since 1990, there has been between 40 and 44 riots or civil unrest in our country. When you take that number into account, you must understand that there were some instances that sparked additional conflicts. And this is how we get to the number of 44. But if we take it at its face value, there have been 40 riots since 1990 in our country, some of which were conducted because of great outrage, like the beating of Rodney King, like, of course, recently Ferguson, and of course in our city right here in Baltimore. But half of those riots and protests have had to do with sporting events in our country. It's amazing to me how when somebody team loses a championship or wins a championship, it is okay to destroy property. But it's also amazing to me that when a community has been in pain and in turmoil and have been misrepresented and have been misjudged and ill-treated and they begin to destroy property, it's called lawlessness. One of the biggest atrocities in our world was in 2011 when a hockey team lost the Stanley Cup. I wish I had somebody in here. Over $15 million in damage was done in that city. I can't get help from anybody. What happened in Baltimore couldn't even touch what happened in Vancouver. Come on here, somebody. And that was because of a hockey team. A young man lost his life unlawfully. It was a cause for outrage. It was a cry for justice. And that's exactly what is going to happen. I'm glad that Baltimore is now the epicenter of the nation and that God has chosen, my God, to turn things around by using our city as a model. I am also thankful, as I've said so many times, of course, that it could have been a lot worse than it was. It, of course, in 1968, if you will, our city had a riot which was much more destructive than the one we saw just a few days ago. And it was because one of the greatest leaders of our time was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King. It was in April that he stood in Memphis and spoke at Mason Temple. It was his last speech, and this last speech was called, I Have Seen the Mountaintop. It was from that speech that Dr. King declared, it doesn't matter what happens to me now, all I care about is doing the Lord's will. All I care about is doing what God has called me to do. And he ended by saying, I have seen the mountaintop. You see, you must understand the mountain is not in your way to oppose you. The mountain is there to show you a better day and a better vision and a better purpose. The mountain is not placed in your life because you're always going to be climbing up the rough side of the mountain. The devil is a liar. God did not save you and deliver you and set you free from all the hardships that you have endured. God did not reach out of heaven and put his hand upon your life and preserve you for such a time as this for you to look up and struggle now. God did not give you his mercy and his grace. He did not shed his blood for you and I so that all the rest of the days of our lives can be mournful. The devil is a liar. God did not, if you will, set you free the way he did. Change your life. Turned you around by his precious blood and by the preaching of the gospel. Build your faith to the point where you look up and your life is going to be mournful. The devil is a liar. Look at your neighbor real quick and say, my life is about to get a whole lot better because because I now realize God has me at the mountaintop. The reason God has you at the mountaintop is so that you can see over the valley to the next mountain. Yes, you're going to have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Bible says you cannot fear any evil. Why? Because your God is with you. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, He is for me and not against me. I need somebody to understand right now that the God we serve did not die on the cross for you to look up and be in your 60s and 70s and be miserable and bitter. The devil is a liar. You're going to walk in every purpose that God has called you to walk in. You're going to fulfill the visions and dreams that God has called you to have. Slap your neighbor and high five and say, my future is so bright, I just should put on my shades right now, because what God has for me, no devil in hell can stop me from accomplishing what my God says I'm about to do. Who am I preaching to in here? God is about to give you a new vision and a new purpose. He's about to refresh your spirit with an energy you have never had before in your life. Lift your hands in this place and receive a new, fresh anointing for life, for purpose, for work in the name of God. I feel the anointing of God in here. Somebody shout, say, I got a new anointing. When God, somebody help me get through this thing in here. My God, the devil is on the run because he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. Come on, somebody, we got a new anointing. My God, you're about to walk into work next week with a new anointing. You're going to sit down at your desk with a new anointing. You're going to be driving in your car with a new anointing. My God, I feel it already. Life can beat you sometimes, to the point where you lose a sense of purpose. And when you lose a sense of purpose, you forget that you have hope. Hope in the faith is not a wish, but a certainty. When we have hope as believers, that hope is not in our ability, but in God's ability. That hope is not in what we've done, but in God has already done for us. And this is why our hope is a certainty. Paul said, it is that hope, my God, that maketh not ashamed. God, it was Jeremiah who had to recall to his mind that he had hope. And what he recalled was that it was because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Life can beat you down sometimes, but it can't consume you. God, it can frustrate you, but it can't defeat you. My God, it can perplex you, but it can't utterly cast you down. I feel like preaching to somebody. It can make you feel as though you're never going to gain ground. You're never going to get where you want to get to. It can make you feel that you're isolated and abandoned. It can make you feel you stand alone and that the whole world is against you. But there was one man that loved you before you even called him Savior. There was one man, I feel like preaching to somebody in here, that loved us while we were still sinners. My God, that took on a mountain called Calvary. I wish I had somebody in here, and shed his blood for all of mankind. I said all of mankind. And when he did that, he made sure that he said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Just do me a favor, nudge your neighbor and say, oh, I'm going to have a life. Yes, I am. I want every teenager in this room to get anointed right now and tell the devil, no, I am going to have a life. No, Jack, I ain't going to be 25 struggling. I ain't going to be 22 trying to figure it out. I'm talking to teenagers right now. You're going to have a life. I feel like preaching to somebody. If you're sitting next to the teenager, say, he talking to you. You're going to have a life. Oh, God, I got. See, a lack of purpose and the impending tragedy that results from its absence is found in all things. When something loses purpose, it loses hope and therefore no longer wants to function or be a part of a greater society. When you look at your life and say, I ain't going nowhere, you have an attitude that says, I don't care. And when you look up and realize that no one is coming to help you, my God, you fall into despair, into chaos. It results in destruction. When the elements of nature lose their purpose, chaos and destruction are the results. When nations and societies and communities and marriages and families and, might I add, churches lose their sense of purpose and significance, then it results in confusion, frustration, discouragement, disillusion. It results in corporate suicide. Touch your neighbor and say, don't forget who you are. Come on here. I feel an anointing right here. If you're saved and blood washed, don't you commit corporate spiritual suicide. You're cut from a different cloth. That means you can never give up on your faith. You can never give up on your God. I don't care how bad it looks. My God is a wonder. If he changes it, he's still God. If nothing changes, he's still. If I get a better life, he is God. If I don't get a better. When we realize and recognize we've lost the sense of purpose, we grow frustrated, discouraged. We lose our motivation because purpose is the master of motivation. It is the mother of commitment. When you have purpose, it instills in you hope and passion. It is the thing that makes you get up in the morning. It is the thing that continues to allow you to chase your dream. It was Dr. King that said, I've been to the mountaintop because he had a dream. God, look at your name and say, don't you stop dreaming, baby. God, I'm going to get there in just 1 second. It's my first point. God, because when you lose that purpose and you lose that hope, then you lose, my God, your sense of distinction. You begin to fall into the guidelines of everybody else. And you begin to make other people's problem your problem. And you take on their perspective and their negativity. And you start seeing things through their lens instead of through the lens of hope and faith. You start chiming in with the coffee club at work and saying, yes, it's bad. Yes, it's never going to get good. The devil is a liar. The Bible declares that our conversation should not be like those that are in the world, but our conversation should be edifying, equipping, and building people up. Look, I don't care how bad it's getting. You got to keep talking like your God is on your side. Look at your neighbor and say, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop talking. It's the guiding sense of purpose. It's more than an orientation toward a goal. It is a deep awareness that a common vision encompasses all life and existence. Without this vision, we can only exist. I'm going to say it again. Without this vision of being able to see beyond what's in front of you, then we can only exist. And that has what has been happening in the 21st century, from church to government to business. We're just existing. I ran into somebody the other day and they said, Pastor, how are you? I said, I am encouraged of the Lord. This was on Thursday. I've been out on Tuesday, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, and this was on Thursday. I said, I'm encouraged of the Lord. I said, how you doing? And they said, I'm just trying to make it. I said, well, you better get encouraged. marriage, because as long as you're just trying to make it, you'll just exist. But if you can get encouraged, you'll realize I'm not just trying to make it, I'm gonna make it. I wish I had somebody in here with me. I'm not just trying to get somewhere, I'm going to get somewhere. Come hell or high water, I'm gonna get there somehow. When you don't have that sense of vision, all you can do is exist. It was thousands of years ago that the wisest man in Scripture declared these words: meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. He said that in Ecclesiastes 1:2. I'm talking about Solomon. This was his conclusion. After many years of observing man's life, his activities, his achievements, not God, but apart from a sense of personal and corporate purpose, these words were a sad echo, my God, but they have returned to haunt us in 2015. So many people seem like they feel as though life is meaningless. And this is why I celebrate and commend our state's attorney, Marilyn Mosby, for stepping up to the plate and doing the right thing, because it brought purpose back to the justice system. I feel like preaching to somebody. My God, you have to understand, hallelujah, when God set this earth into orbit and to display, he did not do it in a vacuum. He set it in order with purpose. And everything he created has a reason for being here. My God, your reason for being here, after God put everything in order and perspective, he looked around and he said, oh, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And then he goes on to say, let them have dominion on earth. In other words, he was trying to say, here is your purpose. Your purpose is not your job description. Your purpose is not your title. Your purpose is not your educational pedigree. Your purpose is not the family you came from. Your purpose is lined up in the Word of God, and it's one word: dominion. Touch your neighbor and say, that's my purpose. That means you have the power innate on the inside of you by the Spirit of the living God to dominate wherever you go. I feel like preaching to somebody. So it doesn't matter where you come from, you can still dominate. I wish I had somebody, because that power is on the inside of you. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm a dominator, I'm a dominator, I'm a dominator. The mountain causes you to dream, but the mountain also puts a sense of purpose in you to dominate. I'm going to get there in just 1 second. I'm almost where we need to go. You have to understand then, if we do not come back to a greater sense of purpose, we will always lose in the fight of life. We will always lose in the battle of equality and justice. My God, in the 1960s, this country was a force to be reckoned with, because they had a common vision and a common purpose. But there was a generation, if you will, that slipped past. Ah, God, I feel like preaching. And we are suffering the consequences of that slip of generation. In other words, the reason why the civil rights were so powerful was because it had a spirit behind it. That spirit came from the spirit of the church. I feel like preaching to somebody. And it moved this nation to change some of its ways. My God, but all of a sudden, because we had progress, and now people from poverty-stricken communities can now go get educated, be registered to vote. They did so. And when they went and got educated, I wish I had somebody, they forgot what got them to the point, and that was their faith. So now we have degrees, but we don't have Jesus. I can't get help from anybody. Ain't nobody helping me out. We're CEOs, but we don't know the Lord. I wish I had somebody in here. We got high titles, but we don't know Christ. Ain't nobody shouting. I got the data. I could go over with you. I don't have time. But this is what happened. And so now, all of a sudden, those that had degrees decided they didn't need to go to church no more. Because the preachers weren't as educated, I can't get help, as they were. And so they thought they knew more. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. And so now what we're witnessing are, yes, people of color are doing a whole lot better. People around the world are doing a whole lot better. Innovation and technology. But what's missing is the faith and hope that can only come from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm preaching, you don't want to hear it better than your shouting. And so when you say to somebody, I'm hurting, they can't see you because the Spirit of the living God is not on the inside of them. They hear you, they don't see you. And you're going, why don't you see me? They can't, because the gospel is hid to them that are lost. They don't have the light. They lost their distinction. They look like everybody else. But baby, when you have the light, you can see the person hurting in the dark corner, and you are having an unction from the Holy One. You get a Macedonian call. I wish I had somebody to preach to and say, I can't just sit by and watch. You're like Peter and John walking into church and seeing a man and saying, I can't leave you like that. I don't have what you're looking for. Silver and gold have I none. I ain't got your education, but I got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside. So I can't debate with you, but I can get you healed. I wish I had somebody. I can get you delivered. I can get you set free. I'm going to go back over here. I'm going to go back over here. I'm almost where we need to go. Touch your name and say, we almost there. We almost there. We lost our edge because we lost our way. We forgot why we were here. We talk about freedom and democracy, but we practice license and anarchy. As a nation, as a people, as a church, we cannot survive without some type of public virtue. You want people to take personal responsibility, but you must forget, you must have forgotten that they can't take that responsibility without some type of virtue. I can't get help here from anybody. I can learn right from wrong all by myself. Can you? You see, only some things the word can correct in your life. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting, because you can't sit under the word and stay the same. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting. Touch your neighbor and say, don't stop dreaming. Come on here. Don't stop dominating. So we stop delivering people of virtue to our society. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. In my mother's generation, I don't care where I was on Saturday, and I got it in. Look at your name and say, Pastor got it in. See, y'all looking at me suited and booted. But when I was in Sandtown, I was like, yeah, boy, I remember. You're looking at me now because you didn't know me then. But then you would wanted me locked up too. I wish I had somebody in here, but it was only the grace of God that saved me, because my mother said, I don't care what you did on Saturday, you going to church on Sunday. And I sat in church just like your teenager sitting in church. Only difference is I ain't have no cell phone. I had a beeper. Mm-hmm. wish I had somebody to talk to. I sat in church like y'all, like, not hearing a thing. Had no idea what they talking about. Seeing people run and jump around and acting a fool. I can't get help. I was doing the same thing on Friday. I can't get. You getting turned up too. This is all turned up. Y'all ain't said nothing. I'm talking to somebody in here. And it didn't matter. I remember one night I was out all night. I mean, all. You know how we do. North Avenue. I spent 2 hours just on the street riding around in the car first. That's how you do it. Y'all ain't said nothing. Young people don't even know how to get it done. Because you want to get your numbers and stuff before you hit the club. Y'all ain't said nothing. Plus, you want to floss a little bit from the fresh gear you got on. And you just driving around the same block over and over and over and over and over. Then you don't hit the club until around 2, 1:30. That's what I did. I was out all night. I mean, all night long. All night long. And don't look, I know you're looking at the suit now. All night. High, everything. Whole 9 yards. Getting it in. Look at your name and say, fix your halo. It's crooked on the 2 horns that's coming out your head. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy? I bet if somebody would have saw me, they would have never said, that's going to be a future preacher one day. I'm preaching better than y'all show. But when I saw them boys on the street, I'm going, that's going to be a future congressman. That's going to be a future. Look at that boy's leadership potential. My God, look at that young man. Tell these boys, back up, sit down, move. And they listening. That's a leader. You see his baggy pants. You see his black lips. I had black lips too. But I'm preaching the gospel to you right now. God, look at your name and say, don't you give up on them. I don't care how off the chain your child is. My mother, that night, I lied. I was so mad. I got in at 7 a.m. Club, breakfast. Okay. I'm sorry if I'm giving your child ideas. Please don't do what I did. Please don't do what I did. 7 a.m. And my mother came downstairs. I could tell she was praying. Because she had that praying mama look. She walked in my room. Whole room. She probably got high on contact. Y'all ain't said nothing. Whole room smelled like weed. Y'all ain't said nothing. Back then you burn incense to try, but it ain't help none. You don't want to hear me preach now, do you? Oh my God, pastor was like, yes. She came downstairs, you know, had on one of them mama robes, you know. Walked in my room. Didn't even say nothing. She said, get dressed for church, baby. And I'm sitting there in my bed, and I'm mad as I don't know what. And I came to church, and I sat in here mad, hungover. Y'all ain't said nothing. And it was one of those services where the Spirit of God just come and get you, where you don't know what to do. But I'm sitting in my seat, and my leg is shaking. And the tears are welling up in my eyes, but I'm fighting it. Slap your neighbor high five. That's going to be your child today. Don't you give up on them, because you don't know when the Spirit of God is going to come and develop them. Oh God, I'm getting here. David began to write these words unto the Father in Psalms 30. And he began to write and he began to say that, Lord, I cried to you and you healed me. He began to say, you brought my soul out of the grave. Because David realized God has done some things in my life that I could have never done on my own. And he begins to realize that he was created for even a greater purpose, and he never stopped dreaming. You have to understand, when you believe you can create your own reality, you realize that you had no more use for dreams. Forgetting that a dreamless sleep is death. Because when you stop dreaming, then you are dead, baby. In essence, we've lost our long-term vision and our sense of destiny. This is why you got to stop saying, I'm going to just make it happen. And you got to let God bring you to the mountaintop and shake that mountain until you get off and start walking through the valley of purpose. But as you start walking through it, you realize, wait a second, I am a dominator. God has given me dominion on earth. So there's nothing I can't walk through. And then you begin to realize and understand, I've been through some things before, and God has delivered me out of them all. And you begin to build hope and experience and faith and patience and character through the process. I'm preaching to somebody in here. Touch your neighbor and say, don't stop dreaming, just start dominating. Come on here. Don't stop dreaming, just start dominating. And when he realized he had gotten to this place of understanding what God has called him to, he began to recall some of the things that God has done. And he said he would sing unto the Lord and give thanks unto him for his remembrance. And he recognized that God can only be angry for a small time. For his anger only endured for a moment. But in his favor is life. He then adds, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, there are going to be some things that I have to endure as I go out and try to dominate. But when I endure those things, I'm going to be developed and become stronger than I ever was before. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, be ready to be stronger than you ever have before in your life. I'm almost where I need to go. And then he says, and in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Here's where we go. My wife and I were talking about this because we looked at Ferguson and we looked at some of the other cities. We looked at Florida, Sanford, Florida with Trayvon Martin. And we looked at Cleveland with Tamir Rice. And we looked at New York with Eric Garner. And we all watch from a distance. I feel like preaching to somebody. And you're going there going, why are they tearing up their own stuff? And you're saying things like that because you don't understand. These people pain until God takes you to the top of the mountain so that you can see for yourself. I wish I had somebody. What somebody else has endured, what somebody else is going through, because you've been on the other side of the mountain living your own little life. I wish I had somebody and trying to make things happen in your own reality. But God shook the mountain so that you can understand. You got to move from where you are because I'm calling you to a greater destiny. And if I gotta shake the mountain to get you to move, then I will shake the mountain. Who would have ever thought that would have happened in Baltimore City? Slap your neighbor and say, the mountain was shook. David declared, in my prosperity, I shall not be moved. We quote that and don't even understand. What David was doing was recalling his life. He was saying, man, God, you created me for a purpose that was so great. My destiny was so great. I never understood it until you removed some things, until you shook the mountain, until you made me go a different way. Until you cause me to see it from a different perspective. Touch your neighbor and say, give him 5 minutes. Which means 10, which means 10, which means 10. And preach your terms, and preach your terms. Preach your terms, it means 10. David was saying, I would have never moved. I would have never did anything unless God shook the mountain. If God didn't shake the mountain of Baltimore and the mountain of social injustice and the mountain of police brutality, I wish I had somebody, then nothing would have changed. But thanks be unto God that he shook the thing. Now everything's about to change. Touch your name and say, get ready to get launched into your destiny. Come on here. Come on, I just need you to have a little bit of energy just for the next 5 minutes. Come on, touch somebody else. Say, get ready to get launched into your destiny, baby. I feel like preaching to somebody. You got to realize that your fulfillment in life is dependent on you becoming and doing what you were born to do and born to be. My God, anything less makes life your enemy and death your friend. Touch your neighbor and say, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Life is not my enemy and death is not my friend. I wish I had somebody to preach to. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm going to have a life through it all. Yes, I am. Some people have used this opportunity as a moment of discouragement. My God, but I see it another way. Some people have used this opportunity to talk, and that's all they want to do is talk. But I see it another way. Some people want to use this opportunity to criticize government and criticize order, but I see it another way. I'm standing on the mountain and God shook it to get me off the thing, to go down into the valley, to get to the next mountaintop. I wish I had somebody. You were doing the same thing, just living your own little ordinary life, but all of a sudden God thrusted you. I wish I had somebody in the middle of it all. Touch your neighbor and say, do you see it a different way? David said, my God, I thought in my prosperity I would never be moved, but something happened that shook that mountain in his life. And David started losing things and stuff started happening. Difficulties started coming. But when they started coming, he started dreaming again. And when he started dreaming again, I feel like preaching to somebody. He realized that he was already a dominator. Touch your name and say, you're already a king. My God, you ain't got to seek the crown. You already got it because he's the King of Kings. My extra 10 minutes about to run out. David said, I thought, God, that I was okay, but you shook my mountain. And when you shook it, I dreamed again. And when I dreamed again, I realized I'm a dominator. And because I'm a dominator, I have to go through some processes that continues to develop me. But when it develops me, then I can be launched into my destiny. So David said, it is by your favor that you've made my mountain to stand strong. He didn't say you destroyed my mountain. He just said you shook it. You ought to be glad this morning that our city was just shook and not destroyed. You ought to be glad that your life sometimes is just shook, but it's not destroyed. You ought to be glad that your marriage was shook, but it wasn't destroyed. You ought to be glad that your children were shook, but it wasn't destroyed. I'm closing. And he said, when I realized you made the mountain to stand strong, I thought you hid your face and I was in trouble. I feel like preaching now. Touch your name and say, God ain't mad at you. He is for you. And if God be for you, I feel like preaching, who can be against you? God doesn't hold grudges, baby. He is not punishing us for nothing, but he's shaking us so that we can wake up out of sleep and slumber and be launched into our destiny. He's shaking us so that we don't sit back and let life get the best of us, but we go and face life head on. For he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I feel like preaching. If you don't want to help me, I'm going to do it all by myself. Come on, look at him and say, neighbor, God, I got a new anointing today that's about to launch me into my destiny. And it requires me to do a thing. It requires me to realize that God has already turned my mourning into dancing. I should be crying, but I'm here giving him glory. I should be in pain, but I'm here giving him glory. I should be defeated, but I'm here giving. My God, slap three people a high five and say, I'm here to give him glory. I'm taking off my mourning and I'm turning it into dancing. I'm taking off my misery. I wish I had somebody. And I'm putting on the garment of praise. Because God, it doesn't profit you if my life don't result in your glory. For the dust cannot praise you, but I can. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I got a new anointing. Come on here. Which means everything just turned around for me. Oh God, I feel an anointing. Oh God, somebody say it's turning, it's turning, it's turning, it's, God, I'm feeling it here. Oh God, yes it is, it's turning. I got a new perspective. I've been to the mountaintop. I see where I'm supposed to go. Grab your neighbor by the hand all over the room. I want every young person listening to me right now, every teenager listening to me right now, because it was the teenagers that led the way. The reason they led the way, because there was a chasm of leadership, because we have stopped listening to our young people. We're too busy trying to make a life, forgetting they're the future. This church will never make that mistake. It will never make that mistake. So we are about to pour into young people like never before. God didn't elevate your life for you to forget the ones that need to come up behind you. And if you stay full of purpose, I promise you, you won't stay full of pain. That's a bomb. If you stay full of purpose, you will never stay full of pain. God shook the mountain. He didn't destroy it. It was his favor. Stay right there. Stay right there, Mike. Stay right there. Because we're about to get our shot on. It was his favor. Come on, you ain't got nowhere to go. Curfew lifted. Calm down. Calm down. Let's enjoy this. Let's enjoy this. This was a tough week for our city. How tough has it been for our young people? Every teenager in this room, your life is full of purpose. Purpose. God created you to dominate. Whatever strategy, wherever you choose to go, and whatever you choose to do, you'll dominate it. Because that's it. But you got to be connected to the spirit that created you to dominate completely. If you disconnect, you'll create your own reality and you'll stop dreaming. And when you stop dreaming, you stop dominating. I'm preaching. And when you stop dominating, you stop developing. And when you stop developing, you stay on the platform that does not ever launch you into your destiny. So life becomes your enemy and death becomes your friend. So this is why you hear young people say, I don't care, it's whatever. Because death is their friend. They would rather die to ease the pain than live. The devil is alive. Every young person in this room, if you're 25 and under, yes, 25 is young. Trust me. I thought I was doing it. I wasn't doing nothing. Full of purpose. And I commit to you everything I got to help you be launched into your destiny. Every gift God put on the inside of me, I commit to you everything I got. Life will not be your enemy. Death will not be your friend. You will live a purposeful life. And I'll do everything I can to help you do it. But it begins with your connection to the Father. People can help you, but only God can free you. Where's my, because that's another bomb. And I want to speak to every young person, 25 and under. If you're 30, it doesn't matter. If you're 40 and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please let me introduce him to you. God loves you more than you can ever know. He does not care about your past. He does not care about your tats. He doesn't care about your black and miles in your pocket right now. He does not care about the things that people who have been set free from those things might care about. But God loves you and died for you. He says, I came that you might have life. You can't have that life. You have bios, biological life, but you don't have Zoe, spiritual life. And because you don't have spiritual life, then your biological life is decaying. You need the spirit back to regenerate your life, so that you have faith and hope and vision and purpose. Because where there is no vision, you perish. You drift through life aimlessly, trying to figure it out. And by the time you figured it out, you could be 50. You could be 50. I want you to enjoy this while you got your vigor and you got your youth. If you heard my call, loose that hand right now. If you heard my call, I want to pray with you. I had you holding hands for a reason. This is a corporate anointing. I want to pray with you. You saw the hardships of this week, but you saw the heroic efforts of so many. That was prompted by the love of God and people, decency and good and people to help those that are hurting.